Welcome, everyone, to another edition of This Time Around. You know, I love this title because it means that every moment is a new opportunity. I've been thinking, Marilyn, a lot of people get really freaked out about mistakes. They just think, oh, mistakes are so terrible. And yet the photographers do a ton of mistakes. That's how they learn. They do mistake after mistake, and all of that is valuable information. And so that's what I think is important for all of us, that mistakes are not like, and even a period is just a period. A period is the end of a sentence or the end of a something. It's not the, you know, no more opportunity. No, it's not that. Mistakes are not horrible. But anyway, here we are. So this time around, where any moment is new possibility. And so I can't think of a better friend to have on here. I'd love to bring back on the air with me my dear friend, Dr. Marilyn Volker.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
My friend. Oh my God. I mean, you're like, you're as close to me as my skin, you know. We've been such close friends for so long. I think it
and
was
presented and taught in so many areas.
And you've been through with me through some of my worst sort of blah, blah, blah. And I've been there with you, and we just keep on. And I love your family so much. You gave me a hat one year when you were giving fun little things you gave me because I had been sleeping with your puppy dogs. You gave me a hat that said, "I sleep with dogs."
That would be me.
We've had so much fun. And I love, you know, I love to tell people that you're a sexologist, you're a doctor of sexology. And yet what I've always been impressed about you is one thing, is that more than talking about sexuality, you really are an authority on relationships. You really are one who talks with people about all different kinds of relationships. And I think the other day I was actually thinking about sex. I mean, what there's some statistic about how often people think about sex. I can't remember what it is, but it's really pretty funny. But I was thinking that for all the fulfillment of that desire, it's really very small in comparison. Like they can say with sleep, we sleep a third of our lives. But like if you were to count up the amount of time in which anyone is sexually satisfied in our lives, those are just really, they might feel like big moments, but they're small moments of time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, compared to some of the other types of connection.
Exactly. And so there's still all that other time in which we have opportunities to experience a whole lot between our ears and between people. Isn't that fascinating? So
and
I've known
that
you.
So adds to, as we experience different days, times, people that we know, what we read, what we hear, what we learn, that all adds to the experiences of connection. I call it connection because
I like that.
People can have sex, they can put bodies together, but they don't always feel connected.
Right.
So,
Right.
That's what I really like to ask people. And when I see people in my practice is how do they feel connected? And it isn't always by putting bodies together. But when they do what we'd say have sex, do they feel connected? And sometimes yes, and sometimes no. So that's what I really like to know, how people feel connected.
Well, and how often are people together in a in a sexual experience and they may not even want to feel connected with that person. They may not even really want to connect. They're just there for any number of reasons. Sometimes so they can tell themselves that they're still desirable or wantable, maybe just to have a little bit of fun or get some attention, because there's a lot of attention about just getting touched and feeling wanted or any number of things. But, you know, there are people that have sex with people they don't really like or they don't really want to be close to.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
And that part is, a lot of people will do it because they're expected to.
Mm-hmm.
They feel, well, it's Saturday night or Friday night,
yeah,
and this is what we do, whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
And they don't really communicate about it often, about how they feel close, how they feel close. And it could be about sex, or it could be about energy or communication or experiencing a lot of other things, being connected. So I'm always interested in that.
Well, and I have the impression that a lot of people don't talk about things like that because they either don't know or they're really afraid that if they give utterance to it, of consequences of giving utterance to it, it might create a lot of friction and it might create tension, and it might be bigger than they can even imagine dealing with. I mean, a lot of people don't necessarily have the tools or the wherewithal. I don't think society encourages that kind of openness, that kind of honesty.
No, and that part about the communication, people often do, in this case, sex we're talking about, they do sex. However, they don't communicate about how they really felt connected or what they really liked or what they'd like to do different, because they're afraid many times that they're not normal. Sexual feelings are normal. They are created in the brain and the body and hormones, and different things can affect sexual desire. Many things,
sure.
Anything physical, psychological, or pharmaceutical can affect different feelings. But if I ask about how do you feel connected, that is different than if I ask, how do you feel sexual? Those are, in my mind, two different questions.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, because people can, it may not be about whether they had that big moment, but it might still have been wonderful just to be close. It might have been fun. It might have been nice to satisfy the other person. It might have been just nice to cuddle. It could have been any number of things.
Yes. Or have outer course. I call
yes.
it the outer course versus the intercourse, of course.
And what is outer course to you?
Outer course is anything that is going to be body connected. It could be verbal too, but it's not going inside a body. It's not going inside a mouth, not going inside a vagina, not going inside an anus, not going inside the opening of a penis, okay? But anything on the outside. And that's where a lot of people can get aroused by cuddling or holding or massage, or breathing together.
Just breathing, sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eating a snack, watching something on TV, maybe, you know, listening to music.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, I like to listen to ocean. I always like to listen to ocean.
I've been at your house hearing that lovely recording for years. Yes.
It helps. I ask people. Now, some people don't want to hear anything, but I also, do you like to hear music? Do you like to hear any sound? But for me, the ocean was very relaxing, very peaceful, and it helps with meditation,
it
with
does.
sleep, with relaxation. So for me, That's great. So we play ocean and we go to the ocean
I
as
know. Yes. Oh gosh. Well, you know, I know one of the things that we talked a lot about talking about, and we tried to do this maybe a month ago, and we still, even though we didn't record, we still sat and we talked about change.
yes.
And, you know, I like to tease a little bit and say, well, you have to have some sense to make change. And some people may feel that there's change thrusted upon them. It doesn't make any sense. It just feels like, but I guess I'm thinking so many people are dealing with huge amounts of change right now. And wow, do you
Yes.
feel like it's more than ever right now?
Yes. And it change can be what's happening in our daily lives. It also can be what's happening in the world around us. And because we're so much more aware of the world around us and what's happening and how it affects us, that, oh, I do see change. Now, change is a part of life, is that I'm not in the exact place at 77 years old. That's when I was at 27 years old. So hopefully I've grown, I've learned, and in some ways changed that. And again, it also can be about what people like in closeness, what people like in intimacy. Eight types of intimacy, only one is sex. And so a lot of people can do sex, but they don't really feel close because they don't have affection, intimacy, or social intimacy, or emotional intimacy, or intellectual intimacy, or physical intimacy, which is not about sex, or spiritual intimacy, which doesn't have to be about religion. All right. But how are the belief systems? And so that part is very important if people are aware of the changes that are happening around them, both positive and not so positive. Sometimes people say, I don't like what's happening. And how has that affected you? Then I want to know, how has that affected you? And how are you coping?
Well, and if we don't feel good between our ears, if we don't feel good about who we are, if I am coming from a place where I don't like me, then how, you know, it may be a lot, it may not even be on my template to allow somebody to make a difference
Yes.
positively.
Yes. And it's between the ears that counts. You are so correct. People can do things. I was talking to somebody the other day because I said, did you ever get a massage? This person lives by themselves. And I said, did you ever have a massage where people are a massage therapist can give nurturing touch because there's different types of touches. And so, have you ever? Well, no, not really. I don't know how I would feel. And so I said, well, that would be something to see. You know, you could get a facial massage and see how that is. You could get a
Sure.
hand, you could get a hand massage
Exactly.
and see how that is. You don't have to take off all your clothes. You don't have to even lay down if you don't want to. I worked with a lot of people who are in wheelchairs, and yes, they have to have help to lay down, but a lot of times they also get massages while they're in their wheelchair, and that's fine too. So I just like to see how, and you're right, it's in the brain, whether somebody is massaging or tickling your feet, your brain is going to decipher, you know, how you feel about it.
Well, sure. And whether or not a person is going to allow that, allow and be able to receive that. I think that's more central than I used to think. I used to think it had to do with how magical someone was going to be able to be. But really, there aren't that many different ways to touch, but there are different ways to feel about it, different ways to experience that touch. And so how it's received might be even more important than exactly what's done, although what's done is important too. I mean, you know, if I'm hungry, I might not be as picky about what I eat if I have an appetite. But if I don't have an appetite, no matter how well prepared something is, I might still not really feel like eating. Or if I don't feel well, I might not, you know, take it in the same way.
Yes. That's why I always ask people about when they connect with people, how they feel about the connection, which could be about touch, certainly could be about an observational touch, because I've worked with people who've had operations or accidents. And so observation touch is how my body is now responding, observation touch, or if they've gone through any trauma of any kind, how my body responds. I like this, but not this. I can start here, but not here. So observation or nurturing touch. And people can actually get aroused, and they're not talking about their private parts, their genitals. A lot of people get aroused when they get a hair wash.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
One of the women said to me, when I get my hair done, oh my gosh, I feel I'm getting turned on. And I said, well, yes, that can happen.
Yeah. Well,
because you're allowing it to. And I said, you're allowing it. You're allowing yourself to feel that as well.
Well, and I think there are different associations for what it means to be turned on. It might mean, oh, it feels, you know, good to let go, or it feels good to be nurtured deeply in a way that feels that satisfying. It may be just fun or curious, or, you know, I don't know, maybe many different associations that it is for people. And so what that means may not, and it may not have to do with an assumption of what a relationship is or isn't. And that's another completely different topic that may or may not tie in with the ability or the choice to respond or allow or enjoy, et cetera.
Yes. And there's a difference between sensuous and sexual. And a lot of people think they're the same, but sensuous of the senses, like a lot of people like to hear the music or hear somebody talking to them or breathing. Or it's so interesting to see one of the men that I was talking, a man that I was talking to, said he liked to have, he could fix his bed to move a little bit, you know, to like the bed could be moving, massage, almost like a massage on the bed. And he liked that because he said it wasn't sexual, but he said, I think it was more sensual to my body and helped me relax. So,
Yeah, interesting, fascinating. Well, and yeah, temperature and, all kinds of different things that could, and yeah, what we hear, what we feel. I mean, all those different aspects. It really, it can be so complex and fascinating to get to know what it is for each person.
Yes. Very
and
much.
Even for ourselves in our own life changes.
And sometimes we become clearer in these different times. I call them chapters of our lives, the
You call them
chapters
what?
of chapters.
Chapters, okay.
The different chapters of our lives, we're going to have some changes or a different focus or a meaning becomes clearer at, the insight. So, I always think that's very important for people to have an opportunity to get to know themselves in these different chapters and or to talk to someone they trust in these
Definitely,
chapters.
definitely. Yeah. I know we talked about many aspects of change. I wonder, I find myself saying often that I feel like I'm in chapter three of my life. That I had early years, and where I wasn't so much on my own, but I had those stories and those experiences. And then I went into the chapter two that was certainly a lot more reactionary and basing a lot of what I thought or what my responses were on what happened in chapter one, and doing my best to make a difference in the world based on what I thought I could do about chapter one. But then I reached really in my I guess in right before I turned 60, I had a sort of a pivotal experience that clarified things for me. And I feel like I entered chapter three. And chapter three for me has been a complete rewrite of chapter one. And where I've got new stories and new ways of interpreting or understanding and new ways of being in the world. And it's fascinating. I mean, I've heard people talk about it, but not too many. I don't know if a lot of people get that opportunity to move to a chapter three. What would be for me, chapter three?
I think it's interesting because not a lot of people either are asked to or take the time to look at these different chapters because you're observing and looking at these different chapters in your life that I think we all go through, but many of us just kind of go next, next, and we don't see, well, what am I learning in this chapter? What are things that I have learned from chapter one or chapter two? And we have to be willing. And sometimes it can be, what did one person said? She said, I might be afraid to look at that as to what I may learn about myself. So I was talking to her, whatever she was feeling, it's going to be her feelings. And I hope she had someone that she trusts to talk to. Because being afraid is a very valid feeling.
It is.
Like being confident is a very valid
It's
feeling.
very valid, and it's funny because I find myself wanting to say increasingly to people that those things that we find. Well, first of all, I like taking the word learn away and using the word discover. I like talking about discoveries because to me that's an element of fun and play, and it can keep it exciting. And learn implies, oh, I'm such a stupid person. I didn't know that. I was such a dum-dum. I didn't know that. It implies, we're just, clueless until we learn. And I think we know a lot more than we often give ourselves credit. And maybe give other people credit for not always knowing how to articulate, but knowing, sensing, feeling. But I like discover. And then to know that what we come up with, oh, I went through this or that where I was really frightened or I felt terrible, and then I found out I wasn't really as terrible as I felt. Well, to me, those are wonderful assets that I use as empathy. I use those to, when I hear what somebody's going through, go, oh, yeah, I know that. I do. I've been there. I know that. I can let them know that I know that. Or maybe I can respond to them in a way that shows them that they're not alone or that they're not stupid or dumb, that, I've been there too.
Sure. One of the people I work with, because I like your word discover, she used the she said, "This is what I'm uncovering about myself."
I
But
like
it's
that.
the same thing, but it wasn't an uncover like a blanket you're uncovering. She was talking about, "I'm uncovering feelings that I was afraid to look at." Uncovering, and that's the discovering part, is that maybe it's okay to really have these feelings. Well, yes, because those feelings are yours. They're part of your life chapters. Those, oh my, oh my.
They are.
And we all have those opportunities to have that discovering. We want them.
Yeah, I've heard times, and I think I've also felt impatient, like, why don't they understand that? Why don't they get this? Well, one example is there are people who cannot carry a tune. They have no sense of pitch. And so then there are people who have perfect pitch and who music comes real easily to them, and they say, the people who have the pitch sometimes say, I don't understand. What's wrong with people? Why can't they get that melody? Why can't they sing on key? Well, and what I've sometimes said is, okay, so maybe you have pitch, maybe I have pitch, but if I think about other things that I just cannot do, I just don't have the same agility as some people, or I don't have. I don't know. I'm not even thinking of anything specific right now, but we don't all have the same abilities. And sometimes when we know that somebody's going through something and they're showing that they can't do something as easily as we can, it might be tempting to judge them. But really, all I have to do is think about something else that I have trouble with or that I don't do, and say, oh, I do understand that. From another perspective.
Yes. I always like to say I'm a techno dino, which I am, as you know. And
No, you got here today. That's
well,
pretty impressive.
took some time, but and it's fine because I have a son who works for Microsoft and says, "Oh, Mom, good grief." And I go, "Well, I learn at a different rate
That's
than he."
right.
And he just is a star in technology. He's a star. And so we all learn in different ways. And I hope we have compassion for ourselves
Oh,
as we go
indeed.
through these, as we go through this, the compassion and the, okay, what did I learn? What do I now feel more comfortable or competent in? And I don't have to feel as competent as my son who works for Microsoft, but I can feel comfortable in being able to get here to you, Deb, today.
Well, yeah, and how can I take those broken pieces and help other people also know that they are okay?
Yes.
They are okay. And I think we all have moments of being afraid. We all have moments of feeling, like a jerk or just hurting, going through things. We do,
Yes.
but they do not necessarily define us. They give us things, though, that can be tools, that can be ways of saying, wow, yeah, I know what that is, or I know something very similar to what this person is showing me or telling me. And that's a way of reaching out to somebody and showing them you're not alone. You're not all alone. We're all in this together. We might feel alone, but we're all in this thing together, this thing we call life.
Oh, yes. And also, what did I learn from when I was afraid? What
Yes.
did I learn from that? Not that I can't do things, but what did I learn when I was afraid, and how did I learn to do things so I'm not so much afraid? And so that's a learning. Those are the chapters that I think that you're talking about in people's lives. And I know people who are afraid to fly on an airplane.
Oh,
And,
yeah.
we all have things that we may not be comfortable with. And that doesn't mean we have to do them, but it's an opportunity. Would I like to learn a little bit more about a little bit more and be more comfortable? Be more comfortable.
Well, yeah, because maybe learning that doesn't have to consume me. That doesn't
Thank you.
have to define me. And
Thank you.
maybe I have more ability to flow with the things that I don't want to do than I used to, or to not let them totally destroy me or upend me in a way. And maybe I don't have to make everybody around me as miserable as I go through some of those things. So, yeah, that's fascinating.
And I don't have to like everything. I don't have to want to
No.
be comfortable walking a tightrope in a circus. I
No.
don't want to do that. Nope. Thank you.
Right. Yeah.
I admire people who do,
Yeah.
but I also can see in these life chapters what I do want to work
Yes.
on or learn about, because we all can learn. Oh my. Oh, at
Oh,
any
gosh. Yeah.
age and stage, for sure.
Well, especially it, for me anyway, it's amazing to find myself in my older years and realize that in a way I feel more flexible to discover and take in and allow and experience a whole lot that I wasn't as free to earlier.
Yes, or not to be as harsh or judgmental,
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
because that compassion of what we've learned over time, and yet what we still can learn, is going to be important. Is going to be, There's always things to learn in life. Oh my word. And especially with so much available.
My mother used to say that she was taught that it's important to learn something new every day. And I remember the first time I heard that thinking, every day? Like, really? I have to learn something new every day? And now in my older years, well, and especially in thinking about it as discovery, I'm like, wow,
Yes.
yeah.
That's
And I
why
think,
I like your word discovery. That's why
well,
I
and I
like that.
think we really can get new brain cells. You know, this bit about, oh, you're who you are at by age 5 or something. No, I think we really can change, do change, can experience new ways, can create new brain cells. Can they talk about neuroplasticity, where our bodies, are so much more resilient than we maybe used to think or were taught. But there's just so much about possibility.
Oh, and
So much about possibility.
that's the wonderful word, whether it's about any kind of intimacy, including sex, is what is possible. And that, and it's not a judgment, but what is possible and how do I feel close? And it could be sexually or not. So,
Right.
because some people don't have partners, I've been very fortunate. As you know, David and I have been together for now 43 years. And I know, and there have been changes. There have been changes. He has diabetes, and so and there are things that are different. So he has to put a shot to his penis. I need more touch in order to relax and be open. And when I ask people about closeness, it doesn't have to be about sex, but if it is, how they have seen over time how they can be close to somebody. So that part, I worked with a group that said they really felt close in a group hug. It was were in recovery together, and they always ended with a serenity prayer, but they also had a group hug, and they said they felt really close physically and emotionally because they trusted one another. Wow.
That's really, really nice. And no now, or no in a certain incidence might not mean no never, or different people being close in different ways. Being with somebody who says, I'm not in the mood for certain aspects of that, but I just want to, I'm here, or I want to be close, or I want a back rub, or what we want or don't want or need might change from moment to moment, day to day. And I think it's just, I like that whole thing of how you started out about how connected do you feel, and how to bring connection, feel connection, experience that. And I think it really is, for me anyway, at this stage, it is more about doing what I can to recognize what someone might want and doing my best to be that. I remember an author that I used to read, John Powell. He was a Jesuit priest, and he used to ask or suggest asking, "What do you need me to be or do for you today?" And I thought, what a nice, I've been thinking about that lately. What do you need me to be or do for you today? And what do you need me to know is another good question. And there may not always be an answer. It may just, oh, nothing's coming to mind right now. But to be open to finding out, to discovering, and to allowing that, and they may not even feel connected right then. They may not want to. I have a friend who I think is really going through a lot and doesn't want to, or isn't used to how to. And so it's just, okay, I'm here. And just allowing, just allowing.
That energy to allow that, and that is really important. I just got a question that said, "Do older people have sex?" And I said, "Well, they can. They can. It may be different than when they were 20s, but your body can respond to closeness, just as you're talking about, to closeness." Or to communication, or to standing or sitting or music or anything, or massage, or massage oil. And but you don't have to go from start to finish.
No. And
That's the beauty of, I think, the chapters.
yeah, it might be start and then rest. And, does anybody report that it's even better for them when they, as they've gotten older? Yeah.
Yes. And
Interesting.
when I asked them what has gotten better, the majority of people said they are not having to be in a race, or it has to start here and end here.
Or you got to do it right, whatever that
Thank you.
means. Oh.
Thank you. It's just what is happening What's experience? What am I learning about this connection and this? And it could be by myself, because a lot of people have sex by themselves or with a toy, a vibrator or a toy. And that part is also, but I do like the idea that people get touch and connected, the type of touch they want and the type of connection.
I do too.
That part, ooh, that I for
And it
sure.
can take some trust, you know, like your four T's, talk, time, touch, and trust. You know, I don't like to, I mean, I've had people that think once they got close, it gave them license. What does that mean? You know, it takes me back to the Leslie Gore song, "You Don't Own Me," you know. Yeah, trust. You know, if I allow, if I let that happen, it's I think there might need to be trust there for certain times or certain people.
Or if something has happened, and I like that you brought up those T's of the talk, you know, some of here's what I like, or here's what I'd like to share. Here's what I okay, and I don't know about this, but let's see. Talk, touch, in those different types of touches, observation, nurturing, sensuous, sexual, different types of touches, and then.
And different people. Some people might feel like, oh, I need a longer time. I need more time. And some might say, I don't want it to take so much time. I like a quickie.
Thank
Or,
you.
you know, yeah.
It could be different on different days and different times.
And time to talk. Time to share, time to be close, time to snuggle, you know, maybe, yeah, and trust.
Similar things that, like, I was talking to a couple that said they really feel close when they walk. They lived and had woods around, and they liked not only to see, but to hear the birds, to hear the trees and the leaves. And they said they felt really close during those time together.
Oh,
So it's
yeah,
very interesting to see
it
what people mean
is.
about being together or being close.
Yeah, and how wonderful it can feel just to go for a walk with someone or listen to the birds, sit outside and listen to the birds and, you know, maybe drink something or just be. How
You
sweet.
bring up something that's very interesting because many of us have had our trust broken, and that we can come in to any relationship being nervous about that or have triggers. And so it's good to get help or a partner know about, well, this is what I'm working on. This is what I always give the example of me. When I was in college, I'm just giving facts here now. I was raped in college, and the guy came behind my back.
Ugh.
My husband can never just grab me like, oh, I love you, baby, from the back,
Yeah.
which is normal,
Right.
but it's a trigger. He can say, I hug you from the back. Then I prepare myself
Yeah.
because I
Right.
don't want
Then you don't
ghosts
have
in
it
the
coming up on you. Yeah.
I don't want ghosts in the bedroom. That is an
No.
interesting book. It's called
Ugh.
Ghosts in the Bedroom. When people have gone through any kind of trauma, that they get help, but also that a partner can know, just give me a heads up, or I don't want ghosts in the bedroom. I don't want that.
Right.
I want for us,
No.
I want for me to be prepared and not give away my power.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
that
Yeah.
part is how trust of self and with others can be built.
Yeah.
And so I really like when you were bringing that up.
That is important, and it's important in building friendships. It's important in building intimate relationships, and intimate, can be with friends. Intimate can be it intimate is not always private, but it might be more personal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Into me see.
Into
Into
me,
me see.
see. Exactly.
Yes.
Lovely. Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
How wonderful.
Well, and one thing that I wanted to get your take on is that sometimes I hear people make a very general statement of human beings don't like change, or human beings don't will do anything they can to not make change, or are so always so slow to change. I know you and I both don't like generalizations like that. I
Right.
really mostly don't. Even that, I don't want to overly generalize, but most of the time, I don't care for general statements like that. And I've appreciated that about you. What do you think, though? Do you think that that's true, that people just will do anything to keep from change?
I think there are people who would like to think that, but every day there can be a change, or as we go through different chapters. Changes and how we deal with that. Oh, some people love changes.
Yeah.
Some people love to move. They love
Mm-hmm.
adventures,
Yeah.
and they like changes in that way. Some people like their hair changed. Some people like their whole bodies changed if they have all kinds of surgeries, etc. But then there are people who really like rituals and routines of I don't want to do anything different. This is how I like my day to go. This is what I like to do. This is what I like to eat. Okay.
Yeah.
There are people who like those rituals. And what the challenge could be is what if that can't happen all the time? Or what if something happens where you can't have that? So, then you have a plan B.
Yeah, or
Which
plan W, maybe several.
yes, you're right.
Yeah, and to know that we're okay, like change isn't always about like rejection or loss, or it might have some aspect of that, or but it really is more about what we make of it. I like to talk about, I like to take all of the words that have able on the end of them and make them about able and about ability, like response ability and
Ah.
comfort ability and things like that, so that it really is empowering. It isn't, oh, I'm stuck with responsibility. I have the opportunity to move in the world in different ways with my responsibility, my abilities to respond. I have the right and the opportunities to be comfort able. I
Ah,
like
I like
to
that.
do that. Yeah.
Like that. And there's
And
always
yeah.
lessons to learn with change. Now,
Or
sometimes,
discover.
yes, or discover, there are sometimes very challenging things. Okay, if somebody goes through a disease or if somebody has huge losses, I understand that as well. And yet, when I've talked with people who've gone through that, what have they learned about those big changes? And what have they learned about themselves in their ability? Oh, and abilities.
Yeah.
What have they discovered?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. And maybe to respond differently, maybe to go down even deeper and feel differently and say, wow, I mean, I think a lot of those things, I guess I find myself feeling like I'm in the middle of a lot of humility. Now, humility to me is about being teachable. It's about being able to discover and learn and apply. But humility is often, I think, confused with humiliation. And I don't think it needs to be, but I think it often is. People will often feel humiliated rather than just humbled in a situation.
Yes, I like that word humbled because we then can be open for
And how
me
I can
for
go
other people.
forward with this, with another
Oh,
tool in my belt or another resource is, oh, I would like to say source is always sourcing through me and resourcing through me.
I love that. It's one of the things that I have really appreciated about getting older is that I don't have to be so judgmental on myself. What did I learn? It's more, what did I learn and what are the resources over my life? And what am I still open to learning?
Instead of, oh boy, did I screw up and just ruminating in that.
That's
But
right.
what's my takeaway? What's my takeaway in going forward?
That's right.
And maybe a whole lot of new resources.
Yes. And those are the changes, since is the key word, those are the changes that can happen that can be very positive. Very positive and very, I'm going to use the word intimate because intimacy can also mean a deep understanding. And so, what can also be intimate about self and life is a deeper understanding of, oh, this is what I've learned. Oh, this is what I want to do differently and not blaming myself,
Or
not
this
being
is,
myself.
yeah, this is what I really always needed, really, or wanted. This is what I meant. This is what the other person meant that they didn't know how to explain.
I also ask people who their heroes or sheroes are, because not that we're going to be like exactly them, but what are insights that they have taught us? And a lot of the people that I admire, like you, Deb, is that when you go through life, and you are successful in ways that are very important to you and to others. I learn from that. And so I always ask, who are the heroes and sheroes in your life? And what are you learning from them? So, and we can be open to that. Whew.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And even give permission to self. You know what? I'm going to let that quality of that person inspire me. And sometimes I may not get what I want from a certain person, but I may know that they help to inspire me, and I can say thank you
Yes,
to the
yes,
universe for that.
yes, absolutely. So good.
Well, I am delighted that we got to spend this time today.
Oh,
And
thank you. Thank you. Always an honor. And I hope that people listening to the podcast may also share with you some things that they are thinking about.
Oh, well, I always tell people they can email me, not to market. I don't want any marketing. I don't like to eat spam or read it. But it's fine to hear from people, and if they want more of what I do, and also for you, are you interested in people contacting you if they wish?
Sure. Very happy to do so. And if I'm not the best person, I can refer. So I see people in counseling either by Zoom or if they're close to my home office in Coral Gables. And that we teach counselors to become sexologists. So there's a lot of important areas, and we have a lot of people on the team who help us to teach. So yes,
Oh,
they can
that's
Google
great.
me. They are fine.
Okay, well, that's
They're
wonderful.
fine to
Wow.
see. And I like our team, though, Deb. I always, Debbie, I loved our team
Oh,
when
I
we taught
know.
together,
We
and
have.
that always inspires me. Thank you.
Oh, it's such wonderful opportunity and fun. We have opened and closed conferences. We've done, we've stayed till the end of a closing day at a gym one time.
Oh, I
You went
remember.
back in to get your earrings. I mean, just
Yeah. Oh, my.
hysterical. We have had the funniest things. You getting lost, and I'm surprised it wasn't me getting lost because I can do that too. And now look at you baking all these things you talk about. I remember when you weren't your, I think it was one of David's daughters laughing at you weren't baking as well, and then you resurrected that, and like your mom became a great
Yes.
baker. Yeah,
Yes.
your
Very
sweet mom.
therapeutic. Very therapeutic. Everyone has things that I like to bake and give things away, give the food away.
I know, me too. I love to.
I
Yeah, I'd
love
love to.
to
It's been
share.
too long since I've been at your house. Oh my
Well,
gosh, way too long.
I look forward to it.
Me too. I hope this year.
Or when we can meet in the middle,
Meet
as
in the
we have at
middle.
some
We
conferences before.
have. I know it. Well, my love to David and to
Yeah.
your sweet dog
And to
and
your family and to your
yes.
cutie as
Yes.
well. So thank you
Yes.
so much, Deb,
Thank
and a
you.
lot of peace and blessings to all of the
Peace
people
and
who are listening
blessings.
to the podcast.